Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
We are talking from the theme, Home Sweet Home, the fragrance and the favor of God that fills the home of those who put their trust in Him. God is speaking to us in such a way that we're not focusing on rules and regulations and symbols in our home in order to prove that this is a Christian home. There's nothing wrong with symbols being in your household, but those things don't build faith. They remind us of our faith. However, when we have the presence and promises of God manifesting within our home, it is because of the standard of righteousness that is established in our household. We that are born again, we are declared as the righteousness of God. And out of that righteous status that God has placed us in the earth, there is a righteousness, there is a righteous standard that follows us in the way we operate within our household. Well, as we move on today in another area of the Christian home, the home where there are Christians in that setting, I want us to consider what a Christian home that is being built up by the wisdom of God and the power of prayer looks like within that household. Turn with me to Psalms 127 and Psalm 128. I call these twin brothers or twin sisters. They are companion songs. And in this song, the songwriter gives wisdom relative to the home, the family, specifically a covenant family, a family that recognized God. So in Psalms 127, it begins like this. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman of the guard wakes up or rise up in vain. The writer is making reference to those who are willing to build their home, their lives, or whatever it is that they're building in such a way that God is honored. So the first lesson I believe we can gain is this. That the workers carry out the work with the help of God. It is often stated in the marriage relationship that marriage is work, and that is true. A lot of time when people get married, they don't realize that they are entering a vineyard where it requires a committed and consistent work. Work to maintain one's commitment and unity, and work to make sure that they are working together with one another in unity. So you don't get married and sit down and do nothing after that. It's just beginning. Well, the same thing is when it comes to building a home. Building a home requires work. And this is what the writer is saying, that God is the one who has to be a part of that work in the building of the home. And when he makes reference to, except the Lord builds the house, what the writer is saying is that God has to be the one who is trusted and depended upon in the building of the home. It is possible now to build a home with one's own effort. But the Bible reveals that when we go about building our homes in our own strength, in our own abilities, without including God, the Bible say it is vain. See, when we build our homes by depending on God's wisdom and power of prayer, what happens is that we have God's divine perspective and God's blessing working within our homes. And that's what is being said in verse 1 and 2. If the Lord builds the house, if the Lord guards the city, we can trust in God's security. We can trust in God's power in building the home. When God is honored in building of the home, that household will give witness to whether or not they are consumed by worldly cares, are they arrested in God's faithfulness? And God is honored in the building of the home. There is this sense of security that does not come from one's security systems in their home, does not come from one's own ability to protect their home, but ultimately their security comes from the Lord. So if the Lord is not part of the building of the home, then there is a false sense of strength, there is a false sense of security. Because the illustration that the writer uses of labor and safety here in the book of Psalms is to communicate that God desires to provide his strength and his security to those who will trust in him. Now, the writer goes down in verse 2 and he transitions by saying, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for he gives his beloved sleep." I call this the workaholic syndrome. That is, the person who is not dependent on God, is not really trusting in God, but they're trusting in their own ability. Now, the writer is not condemning work, because we know that God has ordained work from the beginning of creation. And we know that the Bible teaches principles about the blessings that come through work or labor and the curses that come through laziness. But here there has to be a balance, because when a person is a workaholic, a lot of times it's their ability that they're trusting. Then they don't realize that in one moment life can take a turn. And if they haven't learned how to depend on God and trust in God, then they're not going to know what to do in time when they're not able, perhaps, to physically do work. And so the Bible teaches that it is vain to be overburdened with work and not balanced in one's work. Remember Jesus in the parable that he identified the man as a rich fool. That man in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, the scripture revealed that he worked. Not only did he work, but he trusted in his ability. Everything that he did was for himself. He did not include God in that process of gaining success, and he did not honor God with his success. And people are like that today, and sad to say, there are some Christians like that. They work, they have success, but they're not really honoring God. Now, they may say that they're including God in the process by praying, but then are you honoring God with that success? That was the problem that Jesus had in this parable when he uses this rich man and identifies him as a fool. He was not condemning his work. He was not condemning his success. But what Jesus was dealing with, that he did not include God in the process. He did not let the Lord build his house. Therefore what? He built it in vain. He did not allow God to guard his life. And therefore what? When the time came, when his life was in the balance, his money could not fix it. And I like the way Jesus identifies in Luke 12, 20 and 21 when he sums up this man's end state. The Bible says, "But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and not rich toward God." That's the lesson that Jesus is teaching. So is he or she that lays up treasure for themselves, but they're not rich in God. And sometimes we have people so motivated to work, 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 but their spiritual life is in the balance. They don't have time for church. They don't have time to get in God's word. They don't have time for spiritual things in their life. They are workaholics. Work is what they're driven by. But they're driven really by a need to control their own environment, a need to control their own future. But we have to what? We have to work, but we have to trust God, and we have to honor God with that work. And in Psalm 62 and 10, It brings a balance. It says this: do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. What did this rich fool do? His riches increased. He set his heart up on them. And what happened? When the day came that his life was ending, he could do nothing about it. And that's how it is today. Sometimes there's one diagnosis from the doctor concerning one's health. And when a person have built their life without the Lord, when they have gotten their security in their own abilities, when they have not honored God or honored his word with their success, and they'll find out that at the end of the day, their money cannot pave the way for them. So here again, the psalmist is not condemning work, but he's condemning that which a person does and leave God out and does not honor God in that prosperity of that success in his or her life. So the psalmist informs us that God is so trustworthy that he not only provides for his own, but he does so even while they are asleep. That's what he said. It is vain for you to rise up early, eating the bread of sorrows. What's that? Worry. For he gives his beloved sleep. Now, when it comes to this area of sleep, a lot of times when our sleep is being hindered, there could be a number of factors and some things people have to perhaps search out. There could be a medical factor going on that you got to go and get checked out. But sometimes it's a lifestyle discipline. Sometimes it's things that we're doing in our lifestyle that's affecting the quality of our sleep. Sometimes, as in the psalmist, it's worry. It's anxiety that's affecting one's sleep. God created our body. God even created the earth so that the earth need to have time that it rests, that is restored. And because we're in these jars of clay, the human body needs rest. And when God created the world, it's not like God needed rest on the seventh day. He was doing that for man. He was doing that for us, letting us know that we have to balance life. We have to be willing to get proper rest. I like the way the psalm said in Psalms 4:8, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Did you get that? You alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Where is that? Security is from God, is in God. Therefore, when they go to sleep, they're not bombarded by what I got to do the next day. Their mind is not running. They're not anxious. They're not thinking of negative things that could happen. They lie down in peace and they sleep. And so I just want us to see that, because a lot of time when we are not balanced in our lifestyle, we find ourselves sometimes giving place to the enemy in our health, because we are what? We're not allowing the Lord to build the house. We're not allowing the Lord to keep the city. That means trusting and depending on God. That means honoring God in the process of building the home, honoring God and how we trust him for the safety of the household. The other thing I notice here, if we're going to exercise God's wisdom in building our home and exercising the use of the power of prayer, is that the workers prepare their children for productive living. You notice in verse 3 now, the writer transitions in the area of children within the home. It reads like this: behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Parenting styles are often different when you have a two-parent home between a husband and a wife. And usually these styles or parenting skills are shaped by one's environment and their experience and how they were raised. However, when it comes to the Christian home now, we know that we have to allow the spiritual insight of God's word, and even natural knowledge or skills in parenting to help us develop the skills we need in order to shape our parenting styles. Believe it or not, our environment has ingrained in us a certain psychological mindset relative to rearing children within the home. Sometimes people come from family system where there is the strategy of developing independence within the home. And therefore, when children are properly taught the skills of independence at the right age stages, they become more secure. They have a better, a healthier self-esteem because they have not had someone to pacify them and do everything for them. Because the reality is that does not prepare them for life. In a time when children are held accountable and all of those disciplines are brought into that rearing process, it prepares them for life when they leave the home. A lot of that is shaped by our own rearing and upbringing and environment that we were raised. Here again, God comes alongside. We get born again. We get in the Word of God. We get our minds renewed with the Word of God. And what we begin to do? We begin to walk and live as new creatures in Christ, walking in the wisdom of His Word. Now here the psalmist make it clear that children are God's heritage. And during this time, large families were considered a special blessing from the Lord. That is not the times that we're in now. Think about it, large families allow the family to be able to get more done based on the fact that all those within the household had learned, had been trained how to be a contributor. Not ones who just grow up and take, but ones who contribute to that household. And he said that these children will be able to bring honor to their parents as well as be in a position to help their parents when they are older, in an elderly stage, and they are more vulnerable to outside attacks. These attacks can come even from a system that take advantage of the elderly. And so that tells me that in this home, there is a nurturing environment. It is a place where children are growing and developing skills. And I think it's very important that children, when they are reared a certain way, will realize that when their parents are older, that they have a responsibility. It's not a burden, but it's God's order. And that responsibility is to make sure their parents, and he used the example here of being arrows in the hand of a mighty man. We live in a time now where so many elderly people are being taken advantage of. You got people calling them and praying on them and using all kinds of fear tactics to rob them. Children are to be there to make sure that they are putting things in place that as their parents age, and maybe there are some challenges in their health, that's not the time to just throw them off, but it's the time to look for what do they need. What can I do, or what resources do they have that we can use for their good? It's sad sometimes that children, they're so selfish that even if the parents have resources, they won't even use the resources of the parents to make sure that their needs are met. And sometimes they are saving and hoping that those resources are going to be available to them, so when their parents transition, they got some. You know what? Growing up, the elderly people would say stuff like this: bless the child that has his own. When you work and you go out there and do what you have to do to take care of yourself and in life, you don't look and make other people feel like they owe you something. I'm just dealing with where we are now. Sometimes you have so many family internal fights among siblings. When parents are elderly and when parents leave the earth, all of a sudden the siblings go into a mode of strife. And that's what was going on in Luke 16 between those two brothers. They were fighting over the inheritance of their father. So evidently the father had died. One of them go to Jesus complaining. And what Jesus does, he identified covetousness. And he told them that a man's life does not consist in his material possessions. And then he told them, be careful of covetousness. That was the spirit motivating them. Greed. And that happens sometimes. People are not there for their parents when they're elderly and they need help. But as soon as something happens, as soon as they transition out of this earth, they'll run there to gather material things. And that's so out of God's divine order. So I want us to see this here, because the workers, they prepare their children for productive living. Good parenting is not teaching children how to stay under your control. And there are families like that. There are systems like that, where sometimes the parent want to keep the child all under them and around them. And sometimes children miss out on God's opportunity for their lives. That the parents are in fear. Listen, if you're walking with God, God will make sure someone will be there assigned by, and sometimes it's not your children. Sometimes it could be someone else that God has brought in your life that's being a blessing to you, that's there ministering to you. And I want to say this to parents. You need to make sure you honor those people before you leave the earth. You need to make sure you pray, you hear from God, because that's the key, is that we have to make sure that God is building the house, God is keeping the city. So at the end of the day, it's not my success, it's not what I have obtained, it's what God has blessed me with, and I want to be able to pray, and I want to be able to use those resources in a manner in which first and foremost, God is honored in the earth. I'm talking about home sweet home, when the fragrance and the favor of God fills the Christian home, and it becomes a place where his promises and his presence dwell within that home, not because we have a sign on the wall, bless my house, O Lord, or bless my home, but because we have a standard of righteousness where we honor God within the household. The last thing I have here is that when it comes to building the home with the wisdom of God and the power of prayer, is that the workers pray for God's continual blessing within their home. In Psalms 128, God's blessings is upon the home in such a way that prayer become the weapon of the day within that home. And here the psalmist provide wisdom and how to ensure that God's blessings and his favor rest upon one's home. He begins, first of all, with the order of those within the household. And listen to what verse 1 said. This is the order of all those within that household. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now notice the word everyone. Everyone in that household has a reverence for God, has a reverence for the word of God. And that word fear is not as we see fear within our present day, as if though we're afraid of the curse, we're afraid of God. You know the way we will raise some of us with so much fear. No, no. The fear of the Lord is an honor. It is a reverence. It is an acknowledging of God. It is an awareness of God. It is a dependency upon God. It is a way of a heart of faith that operates in that household. Know that it is from the Lord that our help comes. And the parents within that home raise their children. They raise their children to understand what the fear of the Lord looks like. And I believe the psalmist penned it so well, what that looks like in Psalm 78, verse 4 through 8. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous work that he has done. They're saying we're going to transfer this knowledge concerning God and his character and his ways to the next generation. And then it goes on to say, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare his heart and whose spirit was not faithful to the God. That's what it means to fear God, that there's a confidence in God. There is a recognition. There are testimonies, a witness to God's work and how God did things in that family and how God brought about breakthroughs and how God did miracles within the family. Those things are shared with the children to know that our God is a living God. And we're teaching them what it means to fear the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it said, when I was a boy, this is Solomon talking about his experience being reared by his father David. Hallelujah. He said, when I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and the only child of my mother. So mom and dad is involved. They're in agreement of how they're going to raise that child. They're in agreement on how they're going to nurture Solomon. They're in agreement how they're going to train him and teach him the fear of the Lord. Mom and dad are working together. Hallelujah. And then in verse 4 says, he taught me also and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Saints, when we have raised them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, it is a seed in their heart. And even if they go away from the things of God, we pray over that seed of the word that is sown. We confess that, call that seed to come forth and germinate and bring forth fruit and cause their mind to go back to that time where they were nurtured and taught the fear of the Lord. And now they can get rid of the gods of the world and turn back to the true and living God. Having God's blessing on the home, it would manifest in one's work. That's what the psalmist say. When you eat the labor of your hands, verse 2, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. When we fear God, when we honor God and we have God's blessing in the home, it's going to manifest in our labor. It's going to manifest. That's why we need to be balanced. That's why we need to make sure we're not workaholics. That's why we need to make sure we put things in order and we have our spiritual life in order. And get this, we're not running after the dollar every chance we get, making overtime and overtime and overtime, but yet we don't have time for God, and a lot of times we don't even have time for our families because we're running after money instead of trusting God and living a balanced life. And then he goes on. He said, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So God's blessing will not only manifest in the work, but it'll manifest in the wife. And notice it uses the illustration of a vine when it makes reference to the wife, which represents her fruitfulness, her cheerfulness, and her feminine beauty. This is not a woman that's worn out because she don't get proper rest, because she don't take care of her body. This is a woman who's well balanced. And she recognized that God want me to carry out my role within the home with cheerfulness. Now here again, God is saying this is a blessed home.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.